But you know, last week, Don talked about building the church. And he said in his sermon that I was going to be the one that would answer all of your questions. And he said, and I thought, and I told him, I said, I think you set me up. And he said, no, Bob, I would never do that to you. I would never set you up. But I will tee you up so that people will know what you're going to talk about. So I am teed up this morning. And so I titled the morning message as Vision. And, you know, I've heard it said many times relative to New Covenant Fellowship that, you know, what is our vision? And, or even, do we have a vision? And I would like to share with you, I think we have a spiritual vision and we've had it for a long time. And that is, we are people of the present, right, with an intimate relationship with God, with each other, and extending the kingdom of God throughout the earth. That's our spiritual vision. That everybody in this room, right, and everybody that enters these doors, right, would have that kind of intimate relationship with God the Father, and that we collectively together as the body of Christ would have that intimate relationship with each other, which would then give us the desire to go out and share the gospel with those outside. But I think there are other kinds of visions too, and sometimes we don't necessarily think about those, but they are just as real as the spiritual vision that we just talked about. And so if you went and looked at Joel, the second chapter in the 28th and 29th verses, it says, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and on your sons and daughters, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions, and also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit. And as I see God working in the world today, I think that's exactly what's happening. He's pouring out his spirit, and although some of you may think that I'm an old man, and Don is not too far behind me, but a little bit, right? I think Don and I and Jordan and Butch have visions, not dreams yet. We're not old enough to have dreams. That will come. I'm not exactly sure when that will be, but it will come when we will have dreams. But right now, I think we have vision. And this morning, I wanted to share with you a vision that we have talked about and pursued in the past. And so maybe now is the time that that vision really comes into play. And so we've been seeking God's guidance and direction on what God's vision is for New Covenant Fellowship. Not what Jordan's vision is, or mine, or Don's, or Butch's, right? But what's God's vision for New Covenant Fellowship? And so we actively seek the Lord in trying to listen to what he has to guide and direct us in terms of what is the vision for New Covenant Fellowship. And you know, all of us, it's pretty clear that God's not finished with New Covenant yet, right? He wants us, and I feel very strongly about this, he wants us to be a beacon in this community, a beacon of truth, and a beacon of light out to people around us. So God has a mission for us. And we as pastors believe that God has something really in store for us, and that there will be an influx of people that are seeking the truth for their lives. And we are waiting to know. And they are wanting to know God as their personal Lord and Savior. But the question is, you know, are we ready for that? Is God calling us to make changes so that we can be ready and that we can grow? Do we need more flexibility to grow and expand our facilities? You know, last week, Don's message was based upon Psalm 127:1, which says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman wake against, but in vain. So in the next few minutes, I'd like to share with you some of the thinking that's come about and some of the things that we have considered both in the past and in the present, and how those things have really helped to shape the vision that we have. And so the events that really have moved us forward and down this path, and I think we are the next one, right? The thing that's really moved us down this path is the lease on this location has gone up significantly. I went back and looked, and if you want to see it, I brought it with me today. The lease here went up about $800 a month, beginning just over a year ago, February 1st of 2022. So that was a big increase, and we sat down with the Biker Church and with Manassas Park Bible Church and talked about sharing that $800 increase among us and proportionally with respect to each other. And they all agreed, but it wasn't too long after that the Biker Church decided that they weren't viable anymore, and so we lost that source of revenue, which was about $1,350 a month. And then Manassas Park Bible Church has undergone some significant changes. I've talked with Pastor Rogers several times, right? And as we've talked before, they're going to join us on April the 2nd. And so we're going to join the two congregations together. But again, that represented a loss of revenue for us as well, which was about $2,200. And we have to recognize that these things all contributed to a fairly significant loss in revenue for us, while our lease went up significantly as well. And I thought I would share something else with you. You know, when we talk about this and we look around and say, well, how do we handle this? You could look at that and say, that's kind of devastating. That's a loss of $3,550 a month. Have you ever seen in your life, in your walk with the Lord, where something that looks like it's a huge problem, and he turns it into a huge blessing? Has that ever happened to you? Certainly it's happened to me. I can give you three or four examples, but sometimes we look at things and we say, that's just insurmountable. We can't deal with that, right? Not true. Because, and I'm a little ahead of myself, but some of the scriptures that I want to share with you, it says, in Jesus Christ, nothing is impossible. It's not impossible. We may look at it and say, whew, this is just tough. Mm-hmm. In God's eyes, this is not a problem. In fact, it might be a blessing. And I want to talk a little bit about that being a blessing. And the other thing, you know, so, do you ever, I was going to say, converse with God? I could say argue with God. I don't really like that term too much of arguing with God. But, you know, sometimes I say, Lord, look, there's so few people, right? How are we going to handle this? He said, well, look at Gideon. There was a bunch. And he said, I had to shrink them all down to a few before we could take on the enemy. And so what he's saying is that maybe a few of us here, right? But that's the foundation on what he wants to build. It's not something to be sad about. It's something that we can use and recognize that he has a remnant, a group of people that he wants to bless, just like Gideon. So we may be few, but that shouldn't stop us. And we may look at a problem as this is a really tough problem, but why should we look at it from that perspective? Why can't we look at it from God's perspective? And he says, listen, I'm putting in front of you an opportunity, not a problem. So if we look at the next one, I was just going to let you know kind of where we are. So, and I know that you could all be excited. This is New Covenant Fellowship's budget or profit and loss, if you will. It's, I think it's 12 pages long of this big paper, so you can see every check that was written, every deposit that was made, and if you'd like to go through it, I will do that with you someday. I propose not to do it right now. It's a little lengthy in process, but those titles up there, Congregational Worship, facility maintenance, office expenses, operating expenses, payroll expenses are all direct line items out of that big sheet of paper. And all the numbers come directly out of there as well. So when you look at it from a yearly basis, right, we had expenses of $194,595.76, if you really want to get down to the pennies, okay? So monthly, what that really means is it's about $16,216.31, if I, no, not if I can divide by 12, if Excel can divide by 12. Not me. I would make a mistake. And so we've looked at, well, can we save some money along the way? And so we've looked at a couple things like the missions team. We reduced it once before, I don't know, it was probably 10 years ago, maybe more, to 8%. And in any event, right, we'd like this to be only temporary, but we need to handle the where we are right now. And we've looked at our office expense, our operating expenses, things like the copier, office supplies, postage, all those kinds of things. And probably office expenses, one of the biggest things that we questioned several times is the cost of the telephone, but we have to have two lines here for the fire, back and forth with the fire department. So that's what really drives that cost more than anything else. So if you look at that, we can bring our expenses down to about $15,400 a month. So if you go to the next one. So if you look at our general income last year, that's what goes into the general fund, is $141,000. That breaks down to about $11,780 each month. We had rental income for the first half of the year, which ended up being $37,550. And then there's an interesting thing in QuickBooks, which Lori explains to me. And I'll explain it to you. But there are some internal transfers, and since it doesn't pass through the bank, QuickBooks doesn't record it as income. But when you look at the checking account, it's in the checking account. So the money is in the account, but you just can't see it because it never, it's a transfer within QuickBooks. It has nothing to do with the bank itself. So. And that was $7,718. So if you look at all that, right, last year, if you looked at a profit and loss, you would see that we were we spent about $16,180. We had a deficit, if you will, of about $16,182. However, we had a beginning balance last year of $16,236. And so if you looked at it, we had about $400 left. In balance, and then that other income that's up there, the 7,718, if you add that together, at the end of 2022, we had $7,772 in the bank, which is not terribly bad, but I want you to remember the 12,423, which will show up here in a minute. Next one. So we started out this year with $7,772 in the bank. Our general fund giving in January was $8,714, which is considerably less than the $11,000 that we, which was kind of our normal. And so we had expenses of $15,997, which said that we had at the end of January, we had $490 in the bank. And what that really represents is we still have, in the month of February, we still have $15,000 worth of bills, and we've got $490 to pay for them plus whatever giving there is in the month of February. However, the good news is we had some members in our congregation that have provided enough resources to cover us for the next 2 to 3 months. And so that's what we're talking about here in terms of, okay, so we can cover ourselves for the next 2 to 3 months. What do we do beyond that and those kinds of things? So if we do the next one. So if you take the difference between our bills and our monthly income, we're about $3,000 short. That's $2,976.73. So we were renting room 200 upstairs for $2,200. So that's almost enough to cover it if we can rent room 200. which I think would be a good thing, and we're actively pursuing that. And then with Manassas Park Bible Church moving down there, they're obviously going to give us a part of their offering also, so I made an assumption that there could be about maybe as much as $500 increase. And then if we, New Covenant, across all of you and across the month, could come up with another $500, we'd cover the cost. And we would actually have a little bit left over, as a matter of fact. And the other case is, and I don't necessarily like this, if any of you are concerned that our lease cost is expensive, it does seem to be expensive, but if you compare it to the lease of property here, we're about half price. This works out to $10.50 a square foot. I can't find anything less than 20. So we're paying about half what the average lease fee is in Manassas, and I can share some other things with you that, because I've been looking and at those kinds of things. So we're about half. So that, you know, Pruitt has been, he was adamant about raising us $800 a month. I recognize that. He was non-negotiable. I usually had good luck talking to Pete McCabe, but not this time. But in any event, we're about half of the normal lease fee. We could, if we could entice people to come in upstairs at a lower cost, and I really don't like that, because then you're really below the average rental per square foot. And maybe if it was $1,500 a month, then each of us would have to come up with about $800 a month. And that, again, would cover our costs. We would be whole. We would have a lot of extra money, but we would once again be whole and be able to do everything that's on that previous sheet, meet all of our commitments, which I don't think any of those are really bad ideas at all. I think they're very doable. I am very optimistic about that. I don't see an issue other than we need to get room 200 leased. That's all. Next one. So we as the pastoral staff have really prayed about a solution for this shortage, and we've kept in mind a couple other things. One, which, and I typed it wrong, it's 127, it's not 121. 127, verse 1, but also Luke 18:27, which is, what is impossible with man is possible with God. So we shouldn't. I see this, and you can claim I'm an optimist, and that's okay with me, because I am an optimist. But the way I look at this is, you know, we may look at this and say it's impossible. God doesn't say it's impossible. Not at all. I think he's very very positive, and he's trying to push us in a given direction. And we're going to get into that a little bit more. And then 1 John 5, 14, and 15, and this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask, what does it say? Ask what? Anything, which includes how we pay our bills. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. No, your prayers do not go up, hit the ceiling, and bounce back down. It's not the way God works. The ceiling is got holes in it. Prayers go up. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we have asked of him. So they're ours. We simply have to ask and be in tune with God's vision for New Covenant. And then last Saturday on the 18th, we all got together, and I think two things came out of that meeting, and that was, first and foremost, pray for God's direction. This is God's vision for New Covenant, not Don's or mine or Butch's or Jordan's. This is God's vision for New Covenant. And that, at the bottom line, if you look at it, buying would be better than leasing. And the reason is, when you lease, it's like renting an apartment, right? You spend money, but what do you have in return for that? Do you have a return on investment? The answer is no. And so we've talked about this before. I think some of you may have even been around, particularly you, Steve, when we went and looked at a church over on the other side of town. that was for sale. So we've considered that before. Absolutely. So there's a lot of potential opportunities. Exactly right. Mm-hmm. And so the question, God's timing is perfect. So have we thought about that before? The answer is absolutely. Did it come about? The answer is no. But maybe it wasn't God's time. And maybe now it's God's time. Next one. So what does a new building bring? And I'll go through some of the detail. I think we can reduce our monthly by at least $2,000, if not more. You know, our lease does go up every year, 3%. Not a lot, but it's $161 a year. And we would have an asset that would give us some financial foundation, which I really like. We'd have a return on investment, which we've never had since we've been in existence. And some people have said that they'd like to have a window in their worship center. We have walls instead of windows, but that's okay. I think we could have a worship center of our liking and our design, if that's what we wanted to do. And so where do we get the money from? And you may not have looked at this before, and I had not either, but I decided to look at grants. I have become the chaplain of our fire department in Orleans, and what I found out, the fire department gets a lot of money from grants. And I said, well, I wonder if there are any grants that give money to churches. The answer is yes. There are a bunch of them. I'll tell you what they are here in a few minutes coming up. But there is grant money out there for churches that are designed only for churches and not other things. And there's large amounts of money. I'm not telling you it's easy to get it, but I'm telling you that there are sources and they are available. And the other thing is, if we're really interested in doing this, we could start a capital fundraising event, which would give us additional startup money, either as a down payment on a mortgage or as build out. And so our giving could tie directly to the future of New Covenant and what New Covenant would become as a facility, as a church, as a body of believers collectively together. And Paul has come this morning to share with us some of his thoughts and ideas relative to giving. I don't want to call it tithing because I think it's in the New Testament it's more about giving than about tithing. But Paul, if you'd join us. I will get you a chair.
You want to get us a couple chairs?
Yep. I will. I'll get them. We almost had four chairs.
I don't like standing and lecturing. I like sitting family room style. Hey, Jordy, can you pull this out of the way for us? Let him do it. So a little bit about Debbie's and my background. We came up through the charismatic movement in the 70s. We were dating in high school during that time. Selfish plug. We got married in 1984. Our 39th wedding anniversary was Friday. So we just celebrated that. I kid and say it seems like it was longer because I knew her for 7 years before we got married. So we came up through the charismatic movement, and then we came through the prosperity doctrine movement in the 80s. Some called it the prosperity doctrine, some called it the name it and claim it doctrine, or my favorite, the blab it and grab it doctrine. But there was a lot of people that made a lot of money, a lot of ministries, and most of those you don't hear of anymore. and have gone under because their motives were wrong. That's the one big thing the Lord has taught me over the years is your motives have to be correct in your giving. If your motives aren't for honoring God, they're the wrong motives. And if you're not giving to honor God, as I heard Robin teach before and I've heard Pastor teach before, keep your money because you're going to need it. If your motives are pure, if you're doing this because God's moved on your heart and the Holy Spirit is always quiet, always says, do this. It's always quiet. It's not this, you know, you've got to do it. If you're giving because you're feeling rushed or there's a lot of anxiety there, it's the wrong motives. There's peace in the Lord when he asks you to give. So Debbie and I, as a young couple, BC before children, we would give a lot. We didn't have a lot, but we would tithe, and we'd give it every opportunity. We would, we're at a church that had a lot of missionaries that came through, so every time when a missionary came through, we gave. Sometimes it wasn't much. Sometimes it was only $5. Sometimes the Lord said, clean out your wallet and give everything you had. Okay. It's not self-serving about us. It was just we were trying to be obedient over time. Come 1991, January 1991, we had just found out that Debbie was pregnant with Jordan, and 2 weeks later I lost my job. I was out of work. It was a construction recession. I did not collect a paycheck until I collected a little bit of unemployment, but I did not collect a paycheck until the day after Jordan was born. And they thought, boy, that's so nice. You showed up to even after your son was born yesterday. And I said, no, man, I want the paycheck. I got a family to feed. In that time, God taught us a lot of really good lessons. We had a missionary living with us at the time that we were supporting through the church. The church wasn't giving us any funds to house her or to pay for any of her expenses, but we just did it under the Lord. Three quarters of the way through that time, she wound up moving out to move and live in another place. And one July afternoon, one Friday afternoon, I remember, Debbie was still working. She was still working at AT&T. I was not working. So I would fix her dinner. The scripture kept coming through our minds while we were going through this time that God has never seen his children destitute or begging bread. And one of the things we'd done before we had been laid off, I had been laid off, was we would always take a family out to dinner after church. God would just move on us, and that was just something we did. Sometimes it was Roy Rogers, sometimes it was something a little nicer, but we would try to do that. I know one Friday afternoon, I went into the kitchen to make dinner for Debbie, and literally opened up the cabinets, and there was nothing. There was nothing in the fridge, nothing in the cabinets. And I got mad at God. And Bob says, you know, arguing with God, or, you know, I had my little temper tantrum. I went back in the living room, and I sat down, and I said, God, you know, I got to feed my wife. She's pregnant. You know I don't have the means to get her food or do anything. I said, God, you got to fill up this refrigerator. About 5 minutes later, there's a knock at the door. We had a charismatic Christian, charismatic Catholic couple, Don and Helen Purcell, that lived next door to us. And I went to the door, and I opened up. I said, hey, Don, what's going on? And he's like, I told her not to do it. She did it anyways. I told her not to do it. I said, what's going on? He said, we're going to the beach tomorrow morning. Our kids showed up. They had a whole bunch of food and empty pasta that they brought down for dinner. My wife cooked a whole turkey. He said, can you use some food? Guess what? It filled our fridge. We ate off of it for a week. God is no man's debtor. He's no man's debtor because he is not beholding to man. Man is beholding to him. Fast forward years down the road. One of the verses that comes to us, we hear all the time, heard all the time preached, was when you give to the Lord, he will give back to you good measure, pressed down, shaken together, flowing over, will men give to your bosom, or men will place into your lap.
If you look in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6, it says, but this is what I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly, or necessarily, for God loves a cheerful giver, and he is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may have abundance for every good work. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed that you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness.
So the verse I was mentioning about give and it will be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. We've got bakers here, right? Lots of bakers. What happens when you sift the flour? It aerates it. It's not as full, right? So you... Yep, it gets rid of the imperfections and you sift those out. But a cup of sifted flour is nowhere compared to a measure of a cup of flour that's pressed down, pushed together, overflowing. That's what God does for you. He gives you that way. We used to live out in Catlett, in the what we used to call the lodge, the cabin. We got that through a series of events. We had wanted to live in a cabin for years. We had gotten Cabin Living magazine and Cabin This magazine and everything else. And for 10 years before that time, Debbie's like, I want to be in a cabin. I want to retire in a cabin. And I said, from your mouth to God's ears, I didn't have the faith on it. And she said, well, I'm going to be praying that we're going to have, we're going to get a cabin. And it's going to be just what we need. Well, in 2013, because my dad had started down the road with Alzheimer's, we decided to move my parents in with us. And Tammy Gray was helping us find a place. She said, this place is a little bit out in the country. It seems like forever to get there.
Past Noakesville,
which is the end of the earth. You drop off the end of the earth once you get past Noakesville. Actually, when you go through Catlett, there's one traffic light and you fall off the end of the earth.
Just
there.
Gas station and a firehouse.
Yeah.
A couple churches.
So we drove out there, and it seemed like forever to get out there. And we came up to this cabin, this beautiful log home. My parents had given us, when I was talking with my mom, she gave us four things that they needed. They needed a room that could handle two double beds, because that's what they had, two double single beds. It had to have its own bathroom. There needed to be a laundry room close by, because she had been schlepping up to seven loads of laundry up and down the stairs in their house and stand every day. And it needed another half bath close by, so if my dad was occupying one bathroom, she could use the other. Well, we pulled up to this beautiful log home, and we went inside. And many of you had come out to visit us there. And as soon as we came in, we turned and we went down the hallway to see one of the bedrooms on one of the wings. We walked in, and it was staged with two twin beds. That was the only furniture in the room. That's one. We turn around. It's got a full bath. That's two. We walked out. The next doorway right outside the bedroom was the laundry room. That was three. And the next room down the hallway was the powder room, the half bath. All four criteria met there.
It got better from there.
It did. It got better from there. So it was huge. It was beautiful. We said, that's it. We'll take it. God bless us. Now, part of that story is, Give and it will be given unto you, good measure pressed down. Will men give unto your bosom, put in your lap. We had refinanced our house in Manassas years before with a Jewish investment banker in Fairfax that Lori had put us on to. You might know him. Super nice guy. We developed a relationship with him. Somehow he and I clicked. And when we went to talk to him about financing the lodge, we had gotten one mortgage quote through Tammy. And he looked at it and goes, Yeah, I can't really do that. And I said, we're having trouble trying to get it. It was right at the end of our budget. He said, well, I can't match the loan, but I'll give you $50,000 in a bridge loan.
Why?
Because God. Because we had been faithful. The other part of it was, he never collected interest on it except for like the last two months. I won't say his name because it's a very unique name. Do you want interest payment this month? No, don't worry about it. I don't need it. I'm fine.
I have to explain why we needed this loan because the other house was on the market, would not sell for eight months. So that was the other part. Carrying two mortgages.
On two huge houses.
We sold our house in Catlett in December,
a week before Christmas in 2013. We did not sell our house in Manassas until the end of August 2014. We carried two mortgages for eight months. I don't know how. I have no idea how. It was just God's blessing. It was just poured out on us. I don't know.
He's a numbers guy.
I can't.
So for him to say, I can't figure out how this money thing is working, and we weren't starving. We made all the bills every month, both mortgages every month, food for six people.
Six people in the house.
And sometimes, I don't know when we get caregivers come. I think that was later. But every month, all the bills got met, all the food, everything.
It was amazing.
And boys can eat when they're adults. So, yeah.
They weren't boys, they were men.
And their girlfriends as well. It was a lot.
So, moving forward, just some of the blessings of the Lord. One of the most recent ones, last summer, Debbie, as a teacher, got a raise of 11%. It was amazing. Well, my company had a contract. I do security work for the government. We had a contract, and we lost that contract. And so we were talking with the new company. And I was talking with the new recruiter. And she says, well, what's your role? And the Lord just dropped it in my head. I'm an information system security officer. ISO. He said, tell me you're the senior ISO. Because I am the person I've been around the longest with the most experience. I said, well, I'm the senior ISO on the contract. She goes, oh, well, you're not at this level. You're not at this level. Which was 11% raise. It's like, wow. What I want to share with you is being faithful to give. And you give not because you want to get. You give because you're honoring God. You're honoring the Lord. It doesn't matter how much you give. It's your heart attitude. Remember the story of the widow's mite. And how the Pharisees and Sadducees would bring out the band. And, oh, they're giving their offering. and it was the widow who placed the mite. I don't know if you've ever seen a mite. It's a little pity coin. It's about the size of your pinky nail. Oh, you got one, Don? It's a small thing. Very small coin. And that's when Jesus said, she's given more than the Pharisees and the Sadducees because her heart attitude was right. And that's what... Yeah. Yep.
Smaller than a diamond.
Yeah. Yeah, just about the size of pinky nail. I think that one's been squished, too. But there's so many things, so many other things. God's just blessed us throughout the years. But it's not about us. It's about God. And God will honor you in what you do and how you give. And it's that heart attitude. Like I said, I heard a priest before. If your heart attitude's not right and you're giving for the wrong reasons, keep your money because you're going to need it. But if your heart attitude's right and you give and you're trusting God, He will bless you. He will bless you. And it's not going to be, oh, you're going to win the lottery. No. But it'll be things along the way where God will bless you in different ways. And it's just amazing to sit back and watch the cool things that He does when He blesses you.
And the verse found, there's just a couple of scriptures. So it's in Luke chapter 6, verse 38, given it will be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall be put into your bosom. With the same measure that you see, it will be measured back to you. I find it also interesting that just before that, the verse is, judge not, lest you be judged, condemn not, and you shall not be condemned, forgive, and it shall be given. And then it talks about the blessing of giving. So I wanted to just make sure that that verse was referenced. But it's all part of covenant. We had talked about, when we were reminiscing about this, and since the banker was, the gentleman that gave us the bridge loan, and you asked, and we found out that he was Jewish, we talked about that later. He was very careful about keeping the commandments. And one of the commandments is to honor your father and your mother.
Mm-hmm.
And that you will be blessed because you honor your father and mother. And here he was watching what we were doing and why we were getting this big house. And it was so that Paul's parents could move in with us. And, you know, we were demonstrating honoring father and mother and fulfillment of the law, of the commandment. And there is so much there that when you, just because, you know, this is old covenant doesn't matter. Jesus fulfilled the covenant, but that means you still have to keep the covenant laws that are there. You don't get a pass. You know, you don't get a pass on those Ten Commandments. You do not get a pass on that. You still have to do that. We are all familiar with the verse in Malachi chapter 3 where it says, will a man rob God? Where have you robbed me, he says, in tithes and offerings. And that is part of the covenant. You are to bring the tithes and the offerings into the storehouse. It says, and this is the only place in Scripture, because we have talked about this. This is what we were talking about earlier, why we gave the background of where we've come from, because this is a covenant truth that the Lord says to try Him in this, to try, you know, prove me. He says here in verse Malachi chapter 3, verse 9, that if you don't do this, you're cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me. Verse 10, bring all the tithes and the offerings into the storehouse where there will be food in my house. And try me in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out on you such a blessing that there will not be room enough for you to receive it. So he's saying, do it. And look what I'm going to do back to you because he's a covenant God. If we keep covenant with him and the tithing and the offering, and we do it with the heart of God, I'm giving you this because you love me and it's part of covenant. He turns around because you're being obedient with the covenant, will turn around and pour out a blessing that you cannot contain. So how many times in the Old Testament when the Israelites finally repented and turned back to the Lord and went back to covenant that they're, you know, they went out with the armies and the and their enemies were scattered for whatever reason. It's just over and over again as they're obedient to the covenant, the blessings of their enemies are destroyed. Because God goes on in Malachi chapter 6, it says that he will rebuke the devourer. And that's the covenant rebuke. I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, so he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, or the vine fail to produce fruit in your field, says the Lord of hosts.
So going back to when I was unemployed, and Debbie was the only one in the household working, when I went back to work, when I got my job and started going back to work, and then Jordan was born and she was off from work, during that time, when I was off of work, there'd be times when we would open up bills and we'd have a credit. We didn't know how that happened. That was God. When she was, we were buying a car at that time and it was being taken out of her pay, regular payments. When she stopped working, we went to make a payment. We went to the credit union for AT&T, and they said, oh, you're ahead on payments by 10 and a half months.
What?
How's that happen? It's God. We can't explain it. It's God doing it for us. God rebuking the devourer for our behalf.
It's the storehouse. Because when we were giving, even that whole time, whatever we did have, we still tithed and we still gave on what little we did have.
Well,
and that was the thing, we prayed over that money every time.
Let me close with this. So one part of that, where I was rebuked by God, I was complaining at one point in time. There was a need that came up in the church. And I was complaining to God, and God slapped me down. And I heard very clearly, I said, I wanted to give, I wanted to do this. And God said, yeah, well, now what are you going to do that you can't throw a check at something? And that brought me up short. And it was, okay, I got to sell my time. I'm not working. I got to do stuff. So we'll close with this, the one blessing we had. We had a lady in our church who... whose husband was very hot-headed. He came home on a Friday at 5, 6 o'clock and told her and their two daughters that if she didn't have everything moved out of that house by 5 o'clock the next day, he was going to throw it on the front lawn and burn it. We got a call about that evening. There was a lady in the church who just happened to have a house that she'd been trying to rent, but she couldn't find a renter for it. So she said, I'm going to give it to these people. We showed up there with six guys, my little small pickup truck, a couple of vans, another pickup truck. We showed up there at 7 o'clock in the morning. We had all their stuff moved out of that house into the other house, bedrooms set up, including an 1863 baby grand piano that we moved. I know because I was the Bubba laying underneath of it, unbolting the legs, saying, guys, please don't drop this on me. We had it all done, and we're having lunch by 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Think about that. God bless not just our time, not just our money, rather, but our time. He slowed time down. And it was amazing. We moved everything out that they had. So I just want to encourage you to give where God shows you to give, and do it just because you're honoring him, not for any other reason, but you're honoring God.
So we'd like to pray for you because there is a blessing for the obedience. And a blessing that when you come before the Lord with whatever you have, your time, your finances, no matter what it is, your talents, the whole parable of the talents, right? when you come before the Lord and you're giving, and you pray over that offering, you need to think of it, that offering, as your seed.
Yeah.
Because you're putting that into the storehouse, and when you have need of it, the Lord returns it back to you, pressed down, shaken together, running over, and you will not be lacking. So even though you're doing that little bit at a time, don't eat your seed. You know, when you hear about that, don't eat your seed just because you get something back, you use it all. Nope. Save the tithe, the tenth, and an offering to put back into the storehouse and pray over that. Because a farmer doesn't sow the seed in the field without expecting a return.
Right.
So, you know, that's the covenant. He tells you, I will rebuke the devourer if you're faithful and just. To give your 10%, to give your tithes and your offerings, expect a harvest back. No matter what the harvest is, God will return that harvest to you when you have a need. So, Lord, let's just come before him. And I know we've already collected the offering, but we're going to pray ahead of that. And so whatever you are desiring in your heart, because you know you have a need, you're going to thank, we're going to thank God for that. Because you're sowing into the kingdom. Okay? So, Lord, we just come before you right now, Father, and we thank you for the opportunity for tithing and giving. Father, that we are just giving a fraction back. It all belongs to you anyway, and you permit us to use that. And, Father, help us to be diligent and wise users of the finance. It's just a tool. Users of our time, it's just a tool, Father, for your kingdom. And Father, we just pray over all the finances that we've sown in the past, and all the finances we sow currently, and that we sow into the future, Father, into the kingdom. And we call, Father, that it's going to be blessed because you tell us you are going to rebuke the devourer for our sake, Father. We sow in obedience. Because we're going to be obedient, a people of the covenant, a people of your presence, Father, and help us just to change our mindset, Father, that we're not going to do it grudgingly. We're going to do it with a grateful and thankful heart, Father. And we look forward to the return, Father, that we're investing in the kingdom. We're investing in your kingdom, Lord, and for the harvest, 30, 60, and a hundredfold, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, Lord, to supply and meet every need that we have, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you, Paul. Thank you, Deb. It's I'm sure as you have shown us that God is always faithful. And when we give out of a love for him, right, he returns it without measure. I think in ways that you absolutely can't expect. So I just wanted to finish up with some ideas. Oh, there we go. Okay. So what have we done so far? Well, I found four potential sources of grants. One of them was Oldham Little Church Foundation. The other one was the Mustard Seed Foundation. I've actually made an application to them already. The other one is the General Trust, and they're actually a clearinghouse for other grants. And there are, they told me, somewhere around 1,500 grants that were available, and they actually gave me some instruction on how to fill out a grant application. And then you talk about God's hand at work, right? I clicked on the Generation Trust. What came up on my screen? USA Grants. And I didn't want USA Grants. I wanted the Generation Trust. And so I looked at USA Grants. They said, if you join, and I think it was $29 or something like that, if you join, there are someplace between 5,000 and 10,000 sources of grants for churches. And I said, whew, I don't know that I can write that many applications. But in any event, my point is that there are sources of funds out there that we have never, at least to my knowledge, never attempted, right? And to me, God opened that door. I didn't necessarily think about that initially, but I became aware of grants, and then I find out that there's as many as 10,000 sources of grants, and so, and they don't seem to be limited by amount. In fact, the instruction that I watched this little video, they said, don't worry about the amount. It's not important. What's important is your usage of it. And so, you'll see maybe I'm going to write some more applications. And so what I did is I tried to work the problem backwards. As an engineer, that is a way of getting a solution. And so I said, I want to save $2,000. That's what I want to. So I looked at, okay, if I save $2,000, that means I got about $3,000 a month to spend on our facility. Okay, so what kind of mortgage can I have where the monthly payment is $3,000? And the answer is about half a million. And I estimated that to be 6.5%. Again, I was going through the websites, and I was clicking on trusts, and what came up was a bank that lends only to churches at 5.2%. Okay. So you can get $600,000 at 5.2% for, and your monthly payment would be $3,294. And if you could put 10% down, and this is where that capital fund comes into play, if you put 10% down, then our monthly bill would come to $2,965, something that clearly, over the history of New Covenant, even at the small number that we're at right now, we give monthly more than that. So we could afford something in the neighborhood of $600,000 and have it as our own, as an asset. Next one. So I went and looked at places. What can I buy for $600,000. I'm just going to zip through these because I don't know that we want any of these, but I just wanted to give you some idea. This one is actually a medical facility, right? It's at 9161 Liberia Avenue. It's up on the third floor. It's about 2,200 square feet. And I think this one is $376,000. And you can buy it as a condo. So it's a shared resource, but it's a condo. You own it. You don't lease it. And this one, like I said, was $376,000, basically. Next one. These are just ideas again, right? You probably know where that one is already. You can buy the whole building, and it's $615,000. I think it's too small, 1,700 square feet, two floors. It's a dance studio. But it is right in town, and it's kind of the history of, it's built back in 1870, I think, when it was built. Yeah, and I've looked at those kinds of things, too. The other one is at the corner of Route 28 and Godwin Drive, and that is Capitol Court is what it's called. It's 3,000 square feet, and it's 579, and it's the first floor. It's a brand new building. It's there. You can go online and look at a video of it, and you'll get a virtual tour. Beautiful inside. So there's, there's plenty of parking. There's about 100 spaces, something like that. And because this is weekend, right, we basically have the whole building. The parking lot for the whole building, because nobody else is there. So that's a brand new building. And if you're familiar with that corner, I'm sure you've seen that building, at least from the back side, maybe not from the front side. Next one. That's not necessarily a good picture, but Asset, a company that I used to be affiliated with, rented a space on Innovation Drive. It's 6,000 square feet. It looks a little bit like this building. This is the best picture I could come up with. They are moving out the 1st of April, which would be this Friday, I think. No, Saturday. Saturday, right? And so I was interested in, can I just take it over? When we look at all these things, and there's another one coming up, but this one here, so what we could use that grant money for is the down payment for the mortgage, the whatever, 10%, 20%, whatever, or we could use it for the build of a new facility. The other thing we have to be sensitive to is we have a lot of room here, by the way. There's about 5,800 square feet. I looked at the lease, and I know why. Don's number is slightly less than what the lease says, because he only thinks it's 39 feet across, and the owner thinks it's 40. So there's 150 square feet difference between Don and Mr. Pruitt. But we have close to 6,000 square feet here. And so most of these, this area here that you're in is about 2847. And so what you can buy ranges, because you need to have space for Sunday school rooms and an office and those kinds of things. So even though you can get 3,000, probably the worship center is roughly half the size of this room, and still have room for offices and those kinds of things. So we have two options, and that's something that we've talked about a little bit. So do we start small, because we are small, and then as we grow, we now have a resource that we've spent money on, right, have a mortgage on it, that we can sell, so the money hasn't just disappeared, right? We have gained some resource, so we can buy something bigger, and we can keep that process going, right, as we grow and grow and grow. You could keep that process going. But I'm also going to show you another alternative also. Sure. You'll see that coming up here. So we're kind of thinking alike. Next one. And this is one kind of the one that I liked. So this is a steel building designed as a church. And this one comes from Morton Steel. This is actually a church. It's not just a picture. It is Pleasant Valley Church in Hebron, Kentucky. And it is 4,392 square feet. And I found out on the web that the price of a building, of a steel building, typically is between $6 and $14, depending upon where you're located and the cost of steel. Now, if you were to build that building at $14 a square foot, it would cost $61,500. And it would look like that. Now, you got to finish the inside, right? Put classrooms in, worship center, all those kinds of things. But you would have your own building, and you're not so restricted on space. Depending upon how much the build-out would be and the land, and I have estimated those so that I could fall within that $500,000 to $600,000 range. You could adjust the size of the building and get something bigger than what you can go out on the market and buy from commercial property kinds of things. So these are kinds of things that we have looked at, and what we're searching for today is what's God's will? What is God's vision for New Covenant? These are ideas, right? And the reason I put them together is feasibility. Is it feasible to do something like this? And God says, yes, it is feasible. So, and it's also feasible to stay here. I think we as the pastoral fellowship felt it was a good thing to actually physically own something. And that's why we looked at these kinds of things. Next one. So here are the pros. You could arrange the worship center the way you want, and you wouldn't be restricted necessarily to this shape by any means. You could do it whatever shape you want. Again, you purchase instead of lease, so we'd have an asset that we could sell in the future. If we wanted to buy something else, we would have our down payment already made, if you will. It can significantly reduce our cost per month for facility costs. And as Jeremy just pointed out, if we wanted to, right, we could lease our new facility, the one we own, right, to another church to share, which would also help us to offset the cost of the mortgage. So there's a lot of options here, and it would be truly a fresh start, if you will, a new thing, which is going to pop up here in a minute. But like everything, there's cons, right? There are potentially less space, depending upon how you want to proceed, go forward. It does require a down payment. It does require a build out. The one that Robin always struggled with when we moved here, by the way, is the permit. The county's permit for use as a church. You think that's trivial? I know the Baptist Church in Centerville worked the better part of 4 or 5 years to get Fairfax County to approve the use of their property as a church. I don't think it took Robin about a year in Prince William County to make that happen. So that's a non-trivial thing. We have to see how that is. And, of course, there's always time and effort to move. But, of course, we're going to get Paul to show up with his small pickup truck. And we're going to start in the morning, and we will be in our new church by 1. There we go. Yeah. So we can sit down after that at, 1:30 and have lunch together. Wouldn't that be good? Amen. That's right. Next one. So I took some action items in our meeting that we had. That was to call Pete McCabe and ask him if we could buy this. And throw the mic on the floor. No, that was not part of it. I also took an action item to call Cole Spaulding to see if we could buy the asset. Property. And I took an action to contact the grant organizations, and then I think Jordan took an action to work with the real estate agent on subleasing Route 200, because we really need to get that done. Where we stand today, I did make application to Mustard Seed Foundation. I set up an account with USA Grants, and I have not filled out any applications. But I will get busy at that. I did contact Generation Trust. I did call Pete McCabe. By the way, he was as friendly as I've ever seen Pete McCabe. He was amazingly friendly. And he said, no. It was a very friendly no. And he said, could I help you with any other thing? And I was thinking, yeah, you could help me. Why? And I did call Cole Spaulding, and his answer was also no. So those two pieces of property, two facilities are kind of off. And I think Jordan is actively working with a real estate agent to deal with Route 200. And then next one. Now, you may think, well, this is all fine and good, but things take time. And so I thought I should kind of show you some activities that I think need to get done. You know, we identified the shortfall, and we looked at options, and there were some additional donations that come in, but that's all happened in January and February, the first part of March. Right now we need to find a renter, and so I think we have resources to last out until the end of May, 1st of June, so we need to find a renter in that time frame. And so I set a goal of June the 1st that room 200 would be subleased, and I was going to do it for a year, and I explained to you why the year coming up on the next chart. I also thought it would be good if we reported out to all of you on a regular basis where we are in pursuing whatever decision is that we make, and just kind of let you know. Over the next 4 months, April, May, June, and July, I would expect to write grant applications, and I would expect to get some answers back beginning about the 1st of July. And so we'll have some real, honest-to-goodness data to begin to work with so that we're not kind of fishing, if you will. We'll actually have some honest-to-goodness data. And I think in that same time period, we needed to continue our research and pursue both building and buying, get all the costs together. We don't want, you know, we need to count the costs before we build the tower. And then we can begin to review the response coming back from the grants. I think we also ought to start to work with Prince William County on a church permit to see if what kind of issues they may have and how we make that happen. And I set another milestone that said on our 39th birthday, which I think is November 18th, that we ought to make our decision on how we're going to move forward. We're going to stay here and pay the lease. We're going to build because we should have options in place for building, that is property and working with a steel construction company, if that's the route that we want to go. And you may think, well, our lease runs out February 1st, 2024. So if you make the decision in 23, you got a year to build and get ready to move in. Because it needs to be done when the lease runs out. We don't want to renew the lease again. If that's our choice, right? We do not want to renew the lease again. And so I think Manassas Park Bible Church is going to join us on the 2nd of April. Hopefully my arrow is approximately. And then we need to be able to have some increased giving on our part so that with the lease of room 200 plus the increased giving, we can cover all of our costs. And when we do that, we can cover all our costs until we make the decision either to stay, to go out and buy something that already exists, or to build something. So it looks like a lot of time, but things take time, and we don't want to rush into it because at the top is the most important thing on that whole chart. And that is pray, and then pray some more. And then you can bicker with the Lord, but he's always right, so it doesn't do you much good. And I found out, and I think Paul has as well, and then seek what the Lord has for us. At the end of this thing, right, this has to be God's vision for New Covenant, not ours. So we got some things to do and some things to pursue if we all kind of resonate with this idea. But again, we need to keep in mind that it needs to be in God's hands, and we are his workers, his servant, to carry out whatever he directs us to do. Next one. So this is a new thing, and we've talked about a new thing. What is the new thing? Is it a new church? We have a well-established governance, so that's all in place. It's a new start for our community. In business, what typically they do, they call it rebranding. I don't know whether rebranding is a good idea or a bad idea, but it's one thing that people do when they want a new start, they rebrand. Or is it just a new stability? If we were to buy something, I think we'd be more financially stable than we've ever been before. And I think that's a good thing. Or is it just a new location? Whether you buy or lease again, right, is a different location truly a new thing, a new start? And these are just thoughts that I've had about what is the new thing that God is calling us to. And and it may be all three of these somehow muddled together. I don't know. I'm not telling you I have that insight from the Lord, but it's just we need to be in tune with him. Next one. And so, you know, where we are today is that we have a spiritual vision that each of us would have an intimate relationship with our Heavenly Father. And I think the pastoral staff is all in agreement that we have a vision that having our own building would be a great thing to gather together and to worship God, and a place to grow, and a place to welcome new people into the kingdom of God. So that's kind of, I think, where the pastoral staff is today. And the reason for the message this morning is to see, does that resonate with any of you? Do you feel positive, negative? It's all right to feel negative, by the way. Marcia and I generally have opposite opinions, and I consider that to be a good thing, not a bad thing. Because if she agreed with me all the time, we would probably have been broke by now. God speaks in multiple ways, and I see him using Marcia as kind of somebody that, you know, hey, Bob, have you thought about that enough? And sometimes the answer is no, and so I change my mind, and sometimes I get really stubborn and I tell her, yes, the Lord wants this, and this is what we're going to do. And then she calls me stubborn. I think it's tenacious. But the fact of the matter is, so if you feel uncomfortable, that's not necessarily a bad thing. We're looking for how the Lord speaks to each of you in terms of what's new covenant, what's God's vision for new covenant. And we're looking for his word. And if any of you get a word from the Lord in terms of what we should do, what his vision is, we'd like to have you talk with Don or myself or Jordan or Butch and share that with us so we can kind of understand and adjust our timeline, if you will, in terms of the decisions that need to be made. But this, again, is not a decision for the pastoral staff to make independently. We all need to hear from the Lord and come together in unity as to the direction that new covenant should take. And so that was the reason for bringing this up today and sharing this with you. And the fact that we would never be here if we hadn't run short of funds in January. And you can say, running short of funds in January was a horrible thing, was it? It made us think about what are the other opportunities that God is putting before us. We'd have never gone down that path. And so you could say, this is a bad thing. I'm looking at it as, no, this is a good thing. Regardless of the answer, it's a good thing because the Lord is telling us to look at our options and to understand what those options are. So, Father, we thank you for these good things that you place before us. And, Lord, with you, everything is possible. There's nothing that is impossible, Father. But we want to be in lockstep with you. We want your vision for new covenant, not our own. And so, Father, I would just ask that you speak through us, not just the pastors, Lord, but all of us here, Lord, that you would speak into us and through us, Lord, that we would come together in unity for your vision for new covenant fellowship. And we know, Father, that you're not done with us yet. You have a mission for us. And so, Father, we just pray now that you would guide and direct our every step. And, Lord, that we would always take the time to be silent and listen. And we thank you, Lord, for all of the blessings in our lives, the blessings that you have shown to Deborah and Paul, the blessings that you've shown to Marcia and I, to each one of us, Lord. We just thank you for all of those blessings. And Father, as we depart now to go our separate ways, Lord, just walk with us every day, every moment of the day, Lord. And may we feel and know your presence is with us always. For I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.